This is Larry Glover Live. Your chance to talk about the cats with the Commonwealth. Lines are open. In Lexington, dial 253-5959. Toll free statewide, 1-877-777-0590. Plus, you can also reach Larry via email at LarryGloverLive@gmail.com.
Well, good evening, everybody, and welcome to this Labor Day edition of Larry Glover Live. Thank you so much for joining us. We certainly appreciate it. We've got lines open, 253-5959, star 590 from AT&T, 1-877-777-0590, also via email at LarryGloverLive@gmail.com. Tonight's program brought to you by Jack King Ford, and their fall sales event going on right now. A great chance to get great savings on pre-owned vehicles at Jack King Ford. Check them out online at KingFord.com. We'll take your calls and comments for the next 2 hours, and we'll have all kinds of stuff for you here on the program. We've got Jeff Drummond joining us a little bit later on. We'll have Ben Roberts as well from the Lexington Herald Leader. We'll also hear some of the comments from Mark Stoops from his press conference earlier today and get his take on all kinds of stuff going on with the Kentucky team as they get ready for their second game of the season. Kentucky, of course, won Saturday night, 40-33 against Louisiana Lafayette. An uneven performance, I think everyone would agree. Played very sharp the first quarter and a half or so. Got a three-touchdown lead, put it in cruise control, and really took the foot off the pedal. Louisiana Lafayette got a little momentum going. Kentucky's defense back on their heels, and Kentucky had to hang on for dear life to get the victory. In fact, Lafayette tied it at 33-33 thanks to a missed extra point by Austin McGinnis. But Mikel Horton scored a touchdown inside the last minute to give Kentucky the seven-point cushion. The defense hung on with a Josh Forrest interception to end it. And Kentucky got the win, improving to 1-0. We'll take your calls and comments on the program, get your assessment, your take, sort of the aftermath of what you think as you digest the game, analyze it, sit back, think about it, what your concerns are about Kentucky heading into the second game of the season against South Carolina Saturday night, 7:30 kickoff down in Columbia. It'll be an ESPN SEC network telecast. Brent Musburger and Jesse Palmer, Maria Taylor with the live call from the Low Country. Kentucky is a 9-point underdog in that one. A lot to get into. First thought, I thought offensively speaking, they showed big playability. They have the ability to get strikes. If you do the math, and this is an approximation, but 80% of Kentucky's yards came on like eight plays. The rest of it was largely ineffective. I mean, they had all kinds of big plays throughout the game. I mean, you start looking at the catches. The 75-yard run by Boom Williams. He had another 32-yard run. JoJo Kemp had, a 38-yard run, something like that. That accounts for, almost 75% of the rushing yards on three carries. Passing yard the same way. He had multiple completions of over 29, 30 yards, something like that. The ball, over 200 yards came on five completions from Patrick Toll. So they've got big playability. That is the positive side of it. The negative side of it would be, though, that you didn't have sustained drives. And without sustained drives, without any drives of any length of time, you just can't keep the defense off the field. And as a result, Kentucky's defense was on the field the majority of the game. In fact, the vast majority of the game, I think certainly fatigue was an issue down the stretch for Kentucky. 38 minutes and change to 22 minutes. For Kentucky, it worked out at a little over 15 minutes, 10 seconds, was the discrepancy in time of possession. It's hard to compete against anybody. It's hard to stop anybody when you're playing defense 15 minutes longer than your opponent's defense. And Mark Stoops talked about that today. We'll hear from Coach Stoops throughout the program addressing issues like that, about the young player's experience, about Patrick Toll's performance, fixing the defense. We'll hear from Coach Stoops about that throughout the course of the broadcast. Our winners, let's get to those first. Winners in our celebrity prediction contest. Derek chose me over Matthew Mitchell, and I was closer to the actual predicted score. I had 38-21. Matthew Mitchell had 42-14. So I was off by, what was I off of? 14 points, something like that, total. And Derek chose my prediction, so Derek is our winner. He gets a gift certificate from Sutton's and our caller prediction contest. The winner was Jim from Wednesday night. He came the closest. Jim had 34-24 UK. So Jim is a winner. So Derek and Jim, if you're listening, shoot us an email. Shoot me an email at LarryGloverLive@gmail.com. And when we get those certificates from Sutton's, we'll get those in the mail to you and get you over to Sutton's having a great meal. So thanks for your participation. We appreciate it. Again, we'll be taking your predictions on the Kentucky-South Carolina game as well. That's coming up on Saturday night. Kentucky, again, a 9-point underdog in this one. I'm not quite sure how I'm going to go with this one, to be perfectly honest, because I did not think Kentucky played particularly well. I think uneven is being kind, really. They showed big playability, but very little consistency with the offense. I thought Patrick was kind of all over the place a little bit. Even some of the big completions, I thought, were more receiver-oriented. I mean, they were a little bit late. Receivers kind of came back for it or held up for it. I will say this, though, watching the highlights yesterday, some of the throws that was questionable, I thought were questionable, actually were better in a replay because, I mean, the angle I had didn't look, I wasn't sure about it. Actually, watching them on Sunday, they actually were sharper than I originally thought, but he missed some opportunities. That's not just my assessment. That's also Mark Stoops' assessment as well. Made some big plays, missed some opportunities too. That's got to be sharper. I was surprised that they didn't use the tight ends at all. Although Mark Stoops talked about that today a little bit, that they were surprised of how Louisiana Lafayette defended them. They defended them differently than they were expecting. They gave them the deep stuff. They went with it. But Kentucky never came back and went to the underneath stuff. They made some adjustments in the second half. They went to more of a zone defense with the pass coverage. Kentucky didn't make the adjustments and never took a shot at the tight end at all. I expect that will change this weekend. At least I certainly hope so, because I think that's a real missing ingredient for this offense. Also, too, I think we might see some more Mekhil Horton this week. They've got to run between the blocks. They've got to have, you know, I think more sustained. Listen, Kentucky had there's a three-drive sequence where Kentucky's drives collectively were less than 2 minutes. He had like an 8-second drive, of course, in the interception. He had like a 30-second-yard drive and like a minute 8-yard drive. It was three drives in a row, less than 2 minutes. Kentucky had the ball less than 5 minutes in the fourth quarter. And over half of that was on the final drive. So for the first 12 minutes of the fourth quarter, Louisiana Monroe had the ball basically 10 and a half minutes of it. So, you can talk about the defense all you want. But the defensive performance of Kentucky, while not great, some of that's on the offense for not getting them off the field and keeping them off the field. Some of that's on the offense, I believe. You know, I would almost rather listen. 75-yard runs are terrific. 40-yard hookups on the pass are great. But I would almost rather have 4 10-yard passes than 1 40-yard pass because it's sustained. It's eating up time. It's eating up minutes. And I would almost rather see that. And I think they're going to need more of that. On the other side, though, South Carolina was no great shakes against North Carolina. They also struggled offensively. Their defense may be improved. It's hard to say. North Carolina's offense isn't particularly good either. So it's difficult to really know what you're going to get into here. I do think that this is a winnable game if Kentucky plays to their potential. But, you know, after watching the first game, I'm not sure how confident I am that Kentucky's going to go down there with a nice, consistent, solid start-to-finish effort, frankly. So I don't know how you feel about it, but let us know. 253-595-9590 from AT&T, 1-877-777-0590. All right, open topic in the first hour. We'll talk about the opening game, and we'll also talk about South Carolina a little bit as well. We'll take your calls and comments. Open topic in the first hour. Hour two will kick off with Jeff Drummond at 7:05. We'll have Ben Roberts of Next Cats coming up at 7:35. We'll take a break. We'll come back. We'll get to your calls and comments next here on Larry Glover Live, presented by Jack Kane Ford.
You'll know you're supposed to not just put on, but rather sport your clothes. It's the hookup, look up all around you and see all S, all P, all O, R, T, S.
You see it on the field, if you see it on the court.
Yeah, step your game up, now what's your name? All Sports.
Pick it up at All Sports,
pick it up at All Sports.
All Sports in Fayette Mall next to Macy's. We need to be in touch with our Congress critters. We need to be in touch with our people in the Senate. And we need to tell them, we're tired of this. We're tired of open borders. It is more than just do you care and do you feel sorry for people who need to come over here or go somewhere. It's more than that. It's becoming a question of our own survival.
Erskine Overnight, Saturday at midnight on News Talk 590 WVLK.
50 million Americans suffer from autoimmune diseases such as lupus, rheumatoid arthritis, or MS. These diseases, more prevalent in women than men, are caused by an overactive immune response that attacks one's own body. They are among the top 10 killers of women under 65. Medical professionals, the general public, and especially women should be aware of the more than 100 autoimmune diseases and the problems they can cause. The American Autoimmune Related Diseases Association, or AARDA, is the only national nonprofit health agency dedicated to bringing a national focus to autoimmunity and finding a cure to these serious chronic diseases. To donate $5 and support AARDA's mission, use your cell phones to text AARDA to 20222. Messaging and data rates may apply. For details, visit us at aarda.org or call 800-598-4668.
News Talk 590 WVLK.
I've been a sports nut since I was a kid, but I'm in my middle years now, and my goal is giving my wife and kids a wonderful life and security, including life insurance, a will, a trust, and a plan for the unforeseen. When I was younger, things like that weren't on my mind. But now, protecting my family makes me sleep better. Take it from me, Ryan Lemon. Do you have a plan? I do.
Call Kerr Brothers for advice on pre-planning. In Lexington for more than 100 years. Kerr Brothers.
It's time to end the pain. It's time to end the recklessness, selfishness, and madness. It's time for a problem that's gone on too long to stop. It's time to end drunk driving.
Hey, y'all, this is Dirk Bentley. Please think before you drink.
Think Before You Drink is brought to you by your nationwide insurance agent. With a nationwide insurance agent, protection is personal. Call your local nationwide agent, Christy Turner, at 219-0972.
Everclean clog-free gutters.
Honey, you gonna clean those gutters today?
Men, are you tired of cleaning your gutters, the heights, and the mess?
No.
Protect yourself from danger. Everclean Gutters has the only patented self-cleaning gutter available. Call for a free estimate. You'll be glad you did.
Everclean clog-free gutters. Call 259-1133.
You must have thrown 1,000 pitches teaching him to hit a home run. Spent countless Saturdays running routes so he could learn to hit an open receiver. Endless afternoons teaching him how to hit the three-pointer. But how much time have you spent teaching him what not to hit? Teaching boys that all violence against women is wrong is one of the most important things a man can do. Learn how to start the conversation at teachearly.org. Brought to you by Futures Without Violence and the Ad Council.
A great way to wrap up the day. The latest sports and your opinions. Larry Glover Live. Weeknights on News Talk 590 WVLK.
Good night overall. Happy to get the victory. I thought we did some very good things, and obviously there's quite a bit to learn from and get better. Looking forward to getting back out to practice this week and getting on to South Carolina.
That's Kentucky Mark Stoops. Kentucky coach Mark Stoops talking about the in-net result from the game on Saturday. You got to win. Got a good off, good start. Got things to work on, things we can go back and correct. But at the end of the day, it's a great night. Got some experience for young players. Got the W. That's all that matters. 253-5959 star 590 from AT&T 1-877-777-0590. All right, let's get to your phone calls. We'll open up. We got John and Versailles first up. John, welcome to the program. Thanks for calling.
Yeah, good evening, Larry. I thought our offensive line played pretty good. What I don't understand, if they're that good, you know, and showing improvement, why don't we run north and south more with McMahon? Why don't we use Horton more running up the middle rather than going to the side? And the same thing goes for Boom and JoJo. Why don't they go north-south if our offensive line's so good?
Well, I don't know. I mean, listen, Mark Stoops talked about getting more, more consistency with the running game. He talked about that at halftime, going into the locker room when they were ahead, that they wanted more balance, that the bulk of the yards came on one run. Yeah, I thought the running attack, aside from three runs, was largely ineffective. Of course, now the numbers are skewed a little bit. Tolles was sacked three times for 17 yards. So that skews it a touch, so not much, but... I thought the offensive line played okay. I mean, they kept Patrick upright for most of the night. I think he had one sack early on, only two the rest of the game. So it was okay. And they opened up some big holes. But consistency, that's what it's about. So I would say that they played okay.
One other comment, Larry. The SEC, it seems like when we get the option quarterbacks like Dobbs of Tennessee and like the Louisville quarterback, it seems like we don't know how to defend good against that. If I was the defensive coordinator on Kentucky, I would assign one of my best defensive men on a quarterback the whole game on an option quarterback. What do you think of that?
Well, I don't know if that's the strategy to go with. I will say this, though. I agree with you, that assessment, that Kentucky has struggled with the dual threat quarterback maybe more than the drop-back pro-style quarterback. But I think that's the case with most defenses. I mean, I think there's a reason why Oregon and Auburn are so dangerous, because they also play that brand of football. I think most people would go to that brand of football if the kind of quarterback that can do those things were available. The reality is, it takes a pretty rare quarterback to be able to play that style and stay healthy. It's not easy to do. And to build the entire system around one quarterback, and then he gets hurt, what do you do? You're right, Kentucky has struggled in the past. I mean, you can go back to, even the Rich Brooks days and beyond, back when it was really starting to coming in vogue with that Wildcat formation. They have struggled with that. It is hard. But, again, you look at programs like Oregon and Auburn, imagine how hard it is to defend those guys when they're doing it with five-star athletes versus guys going to Louisiana Lafayette.
If he gets a chance, he ought to put Barker in every chance he gets to give the guys some experience. Thanks, Larry.
All right, thank you, John. Appreciate it. I was also a little surprised Barker didn't play. Now, I mentioned that on Twitter over the weekend and also on the show, and some of the followers thought my comments were, demeaning to Patrick, meaning that Patrick deserved to be demoted. That's not what I was saying. I think I was surprised he would have played no matter how well Patrick played, because the coach had hinted that Barker would not only get some opportunities, but also might get some opportunities, in meaningful situations. It turned out the entire game turned out to be meaningful. But in meaningful situations. So I was a little surprised that Barker didn't get a look. And because I think, now you go on the road to South Carolina and you might not be in a position to play him next week unless, of course, Tolles gets hurt. And then the experience would have really come in handy. So I don't know how it's going to work out. But I also was a little surprised that Barker didn't get at least one series to get his feet wet, just in case you might need him somewhere down the road. 253-5959 star 590 from AT&T, 1-877-777-0590. So to Lou next up. Lou, welcome.
Hello, Larry.
Hey, Lou.
Yeah, I was kind of looking for Barker to come in maybe in the second quarter. The game looked to be in hand, and, it was kind of a good time to maybe put him in, but, like you say, they didn't. But after watch all along, two football games Saturday, both games were a lot closer than anyone thought.
Well, I don't know that the Louisville game was that close, really. It was a two-touchdown game in almost the entire game until about the last minute. So, I mean, I think the score was closer than the game wasn't as close as the score would indicate. Louisville's never in a position to win. Certainly, Louisiana Lafayette was because they tied the game. But the reality is Louisville was double digits behind the entire game.
Well, my Cardinals scored a touchdown with like 4 or 3 minutes to go and got within six and couldn't convert a holdback kick. That's not exactly getting your dinner handed to you.
Well, I didn't know. But again, they were down by 17, 20 points for much of the game. I thought Auburn got conservative with their play calls. Louisville was able to, to their credit, they made plays and got closer, but Louisville was never in a position to win.
Well, they would have said I got that onside kick, but that's what a Merry Christmas we'd all have, right?
Well, they also would have, too, if they didn't throw that stupid trick play at the beginning of the game that cost them 7 points, too.
Yeah, and then you put the ball on the ground, and then a guy picks it up and runs 80 yards against you.
Yeah. If you made plays, Louisville would have had a much better chance to win. I really, the first play of the game, I thought that was very telling about Bobby Petrino's confidence in the offense. That if you have confidence in your offense, you don't pull that kind of garbage in the first play. I thought that was really telling.
Well, you know, he's always a guy willing to take a chance here or there, and
Lou, it said a lot about his confidence and where his offense was at that point?
Well, you're playing the number six team in the country. You know, you're a decided underdog. You're going to try a trick play or two here and there.
Ten points is a big margin, but that's not an interesting. I mean, that's, you know, when you're a 10-point dog, that's not a huge upset when you win. I mean, a huge upset when you win is when you're down, when you're a 27-point dog and you win. So 10 points is only, you're only down a field goal and they score a touchdown in the last minute to cover. I mean, it's, you know, 10 points is not that decisive of a victory, really.
Well, I appreciate your complimentary attitude toward Louisville being able to do that with the Auburn Tigers.
To be honest with you, here's my assessment of Louisville. I think their defense is really good. And I think their offense will be good at some point. I think this is a year where it would have been better served for Kentucky to have gotten Louisville early. Now, you don't know what the rest of the season is going to hold. Kentucky, I think, will get a lot better. Louisville probably will as well. What you don't know is the variable that's unknown, and that's injuries and who's healthy and who's not healthy come November and where the psyches of these teams are. But I have no doubt that Louisville will be much better in a month.
Right. You know what surprised me about Stoops after the game? I was expecting to hear a very frustrated coach who was not happy that his team couldn't, take care of the Lafayette. But he seemed really celebratory toward the victory.
You have to understand the context of what he's dealing with a team that played 19 freshmen and true freshmen. It was more important to, you have to know when to sort of pick your guys up and tell them it's going to be all right, and know when to really undress them, about mistakes, okay? And I think he thought it was more important to emphasize the positives because, listen, the team knew that they didn't play well. And you got a bunch of young guys that have never played before. It's more important to let them know, listen, you got your feet wet. You know what it's about now. You got the W. Let's just move on to week two. And we'll fix the things we can fix, okay? I think he thought it was far more productive to be positive after the game than to be negative. And I think given how young this team is, I think it's probably the right course of action.
Well, you know, if it's a team with a fragile confidence level, they're going to be in for a rude awakening in a crazy
madhouse. Yeah, but don't you think
the
any team that's got that many young, listen, keep in mind, Kentucky's only got two guys on the offense in the two deep that's seniors. Almost everybody, there's almost all of the skill players are sophomore or younger. I mean, it isn't fragile psyche necessarily as much as it is that you're dealing with a young team that's figuring things out for the first time. You know, one of the concerns about playing a young guy before they're ready, I'm talking about in a general sense, one of the concerns about playing a young guy before they're ready is that you worry that if they don't play well, you could really set them back. That's the concern, at least it is for me anyway. That would be my concern. And I think that from the perspective, it's not that they have a fragile psyche, but every young guy playing for the first time is going to be a little fragile psychologically speaking because they've never really played there before. And even though they think they're going to do well and they think they know what it's all about, they don't really know until they actually do it. So you have to be careful that you don't send them out there defeated or beat them up too bad the first night because, you know, you can. When you have no experience to fall back on, you can take their confidence away much faster than, say, a senior that's had more success along the way.
Well, you know, we're getting to a lot of psychology there, but any way you slice it, that confidence is certainly going to be tested Saturday night because in home openers at South Carolina, after they come off of a win, you can bet it'll be nuts down there. And
it will be. I will say this, though. I don't think South Carolina's particularly good. I mean, of course, they could be much improved Saturday night because, I mean, teams do improve a lot between week one and week two. Their quarterback's not great. They got American Pharoah. Pharoah Cooper, obviously a great wide receiver, but their quarterback's banged up. Their running game wasn't particularly good. So I think if Kentucky goes down there and just gives – if they go there and play pretty well, yeah, they'll have a puncher's chance. If they play really well, they'll have a real good chance. Neither team looked very good. Both teams will be better, I think. Obviously, being a home team, South Carolina's got a huge advantage. There's no question.
Mm-hmm. I think what's going to be a real shock to the Kentucky offense is South Carolina's defense. Because
maybe
that defense that they played against Saturday night compared to the South Carolina is going to be a big shock.
But here's the thing, though, Lou. People forget, Louisiana Lafayette's won 36 games in the last 4 years and won four bowl games. Okay? I know they're what, the Sun Belt team, whatever they are, but that's still not a bad team. That's a good quality program. And you heard Jeff Drummond even all last week warning people, listen, this is not a gimme. I mean, this is a team that can play. They're going to play well to win this game. I think people look at the name and say this is a guaranteed money win. But, you know, they're a good team. They are a good team.
Right. Well, you know, plus, you know, Kentucky had that great practice 3 Saturday nights ago. So let's not forget about that.
Lou, that great practice that you're mocking might have been the difference in winning last night, because they got together and they believed each other and got it done last night, or Saturday night, in that last drive. So maybe moments like that were the reason why they were able to sort of kind of galvanize themselves and regroup and win that game.
Well,
go ahead, mock it
right.
All you want, but that stuff's got value. All right,
well,
got to run, Lou. Appreciate it.
Right.
We'll take a break.
Thank
we'll come
you,
back, and we'll get to more calls and comments. We got Brian and Al holding after the break here on Larry Glover Live, presented by Jack Kane Ford. Hi, this is Larry. I want to take a moment to tell you about my friends over at Sutton's Restaurant. Now, they've been my favorite place to get a bite for a while now, because they offer the best food around. Everything is made from scratch right there in the kitchen at Sutton's. It's not pre-made, shipped in, and then warmed up like a lot of places. My favorite is the ravioli, and it's now on the menu full-time, along with some other great dishes like the fish and chips, the mahi-mahi grilled or blackened, the garlic cheese parmesan cheese fries, 4 new burgers, and the sriracha shrimp pizza, which my wife really likes. Now, Sutton's also has music on the patio Wednesday, Friday, and Saturdays, weather permitting, of course, so you can make a night of it at Sutton's. They're located on the corner of Richmond Road and Manowar Boulevard, and if you've never been to Sutton's, do yourself a favor and just go once. I promise you, you'll go back again, because the food is just that good. Check out Sutton's Restaurant.
Kentucky loves basketball.
Madness, baby!
And no matter what your team colors are, they all go great with a green glass bottle of Ale 8. As you cheer your team on to victory, enjoy the familiar fruit and ginger flavors and drink one when your team sinks one. Ale 8. Taste, love, and share the tradition.
If you remember one thing in the next 30 seconds, remember, you're not alone. There are people in your community who also live with depression or bipolar disorder, people who understand what you're going through and can help. At a support group, you'll be able to share your feelings about a very real and treatable medical condition and help yourself and others work towards wellness. The Depression and Bipolar Support Alliance can connect you with life-saving information, tools, and support. Visit supporthelps.org or call 800-826-3632 to learn more. We've been there. We can help.
Our run of 90-degree days or higher continues, and this could be our seventh day in Lexington with low 90s. Mostly to partly sunny and isolated shower storm for your Labor Day. Tomorrow, back at it, low 90s Tuesday, partly sunny. Into the middle of the week, though, big changes ahead. We've got scattered showers and storms Wednesday night, maxing out Thursday, highs falling through the 80s. I'm meteorologist Tom Ackerman with your LEX 18 Storm Tracker 3-day forecast on your official weather station, News Talk 590 WVLK.
It's 90 degrees and partly cloudy at your official weather station, News Talk 590 WVLK.
Let me tell you one more time exactly how I feel. I'd rather drive to Paris for a Dan Cummins deal.
We're overstocked with Chevy Silverados and over 900 vehicles at Dan Cummins Chevrolet Buick in Paris. Save thousands, plus all qualified vehicles come with a lifetime powertrain guarantee at no extra charge. Visit us online at dancummins.com and drive to Paris for a Dan Cummins deal.
Let me tell you one more time exactly how I feel. I'd rather drive to Paris for a Dan Cummins deal.
In almost every school bus and classroom.
I go to school with your children.
We say the Pledge of Allegiance together.
You see me around the neighborhood and you tell me that I'm a pretty good kid.
Well, I'm one out of every 5 children in America, and I'm struggling with hunger.
This problem is closer than you think. My teacher tells me we can grow up to be whatever we want.
I want to grow up to be someone who doesn't go to bed hungry.
There's enough food in this country to feed everybody.
Please visit feedingamerica.org today and find your local food bank for ways to help.
Every
Every dollar you donate helps provide 8 meals for kids like me, quietly struggling with hunger.
Together, we are Feeding America, brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
Now back to the calls on Larry Glover Live on Sports Central 590 WVLK.
A little bit inconsistent. Had some great throws, explosive plays, and then missed some opportunities.
That's Mark Stoops' assessment of Patrick Toll's play on Saturday night. Said that, what can he tell him? Throw a little further, don't throw quite as far. What am I supposed to tell him? I'm not a quarterback guru, he said. Again, I think felt maybe that Patrick put a little too much pressure on himself Saturday night, which is certainly possible. I mean, I think they really maybe felt the pressure to really light it up Saturday night. And when you press a little bit, you're going to overthrow it or overcook it sometimes. So I think it'll be interesting to see how they play Saturday. I think he'll relax and play a little bit better Saturday night. I do believe that. Let's go to the phone calls. We got Brian next up. Brian, welcome to the show. Thanks for waiting.
Hey, Larry. No problem. I called last week about this, and I know you've touched on it, but we've got to do something to keep the defense off of the field.
Yeah.
I was at the game Saturday night. It was hot where I was sitting, so I'm sure it was brutal down where they were at. And it was just like they never got a break. I mean, they could hardly get a chance to go over there and get a drink of water before they were back.
Brian, let me read you. Brian, if I could. Let me read you the time of possession of Kentucky's drives Saturday night, okay?
Sure.
16 seconds, a minute 33, 234, 119, 134, 248, 101, 211, 127, 209, 105, 8 seconds, 37 seconds, and the longest drive of the night was the last real drive, 340. I mean, think about it. There's a three-drive sequence where Kentucky had the ball less than 2 minutes.
Right.
Combined.
That's your defense, those guys, they can't do that continually. You know, they want to do something about it.
You can say all you want about Kentucky's defense. That's right. Kentucky's defense did not play great down the stretch, but some of that's not their fault.
Right. I totally agree. Thank you very much. I appreciate it.
Thanks, Brian. Appreciate it. Let's go to Al next up. Al, welcome to the show. How are you doing?
Hey, Larry. How you doing, sir?
I'm doing okay. Good to have you, Al.
I'm glad to hear. I'm glad you took my call back. I had some phone problems here a little bit. Listen, I think the crowd left at, what, right after halftime when we got 21 to nothing?
It seemed like people thought it was in the bag, didn't they?
Yeah, I think not only they, I think Patrick Toles might have thought it was in the bag, too. Hey, listen.
Young teams do let up sometimes. I think it's a fair question to ask. Did this young team? And again, I think young, inexperienced, immature teams sometimes might let up, thinking that it's over, and you got to play 60 minutes. I think it's probably part of the equation.
Well, I think that you got a veteran quarterback. We had a whole lot of very exciting anticipation coming into the season, like his new hairdo. But I think that he could have been part of a conversation on ESPN because he had opportunities to throw probably 400 or 500 yards, maybe 5 or 6 touchdowns. I don't know if he was overwhelmed because he was up 21-0, but he missed a great opportunity for some young female to be up in the audience with a sign held up, "Patrick, will you marry me?" I think going to South Carolina. You know, we all sports guys always talk about a trap game.
Yeah.
You said South Carolina's not that good. You're dealing with a veteran old ball coach. What do you think the game plan would need to be when we go ahead to South Carolina?
Well, I think the offense needs to have more sustained drives, more balance. They need to have more 4 and 5 minute drives, I think, 3 or 4 minute drives. I think they, it's great to have 75-yard touchdown runs in the first play, but I think Kentucky would have benefited more from a 75-yard 10-play drive, honestly. But, at the same time, the flip side is you've got a guy that can take it 75 yards at any time. You've got a quarterback and a receiving core that can hook up on 35 and 40-yard pass plays at any time. So that's the positive of it is you do have big playability. I think, honestly, a lot of it from Patrick's standpoint was maybe first-game jitters. I thought a couple of times maybe he was a little too amped and just sort of overcooked it a little bit, which is understandable. You know, I really believe Patrick will be fine. I think he's fine. He's got ability. He's played well before. I think he's got a lot of young kids around him, maybe playing for the first time and playing with all these kids for the first time. And it was just the first game. I think the offense will be fine. I'm not really worried about the offense at all. I do think that the defense was a little bit of a concern. I thought the linebacking core was a weakness, aside from Josh Forrest, who was phenomenal, 15 tackles, 7 solos. I mean, he was probably the best player in the field for Kentucky Saturday night. So I do think the offense will be fine. I think Patrick will be fine. I think he overcooked it a little bit. But, again, I think a lot of that was first-game jitters and, you know, and just maybe a little too amped. And maybe he put a little pressure on himself. I mean, Mark Stoops talked about it a little bit, maybe, you know, applying too much pressure to succeed the first game. You know, but once he gets comfortable, gets on his feet a little bit, I think Tolles will be fine.
Well, I think that when Herman Rushing attempts to Boone Williams
pull up he had Boom carried the ball 10 times for 138 yards. But keep in mind, he had a 75 and a 38. So
that was the inaugural run of the new stadium. I mean, that was a great thing to have for Boom to break off 75 yards in the new stadium. That's something that he probably would remember. But I think going forward, Larry, I think that you're going to have some of your callers and some of the skeptics out there that they're going to put some of the games that we thought we would win in the loss column based on this game. I know it's premature to anticipate that. So certainly you're going to have some people that's going to be skeptic that, you know, the game players, they won't be. But you're going to have other guys out there that are going to feel like the Kentucky might have a tough time against some of the people that we thought we would win this year.
I guess, Al, what I would say to people who watch the game Saturday and are concerned about it is one of my favorite sayings is you're never as good as you look, you're never as bad as you look, and don't overreact to one game. They've had so many young players in this team playing for the first time, and we talked about this a little bit last week. You don't know who's going to play, who's going to be deer in headlights, and I just think you had a lot of young guys playing for the first time in key positions, like linebacker, for instance. I mean, Jordan Jones got beat on a play, and Denzel Ware and Nico Ferrios got beat on a play that led to points. You know, they're young guys, and it's going to take a long time. It's almost like learning how to, you know, play, but you're shooting buckets, you know, in your backyard or throwing passes at your buddy running routes in the yard. You know, you think, well, I've got it down because I'm putting it right in his hands, or I'm hitting 6 out of 10 three-pointers in my backcourt. But when you go play in a game where everything's faster than you're expecting, and it's hard to take what you were doing in practice and apply it in the game the very first time. So it's the first game. You got a lot of young guys playing. I would caution people not to overreact to this and give them a few games to kind of get on the feet and start to see which guys begin to emerge as players.
Well, but that's a good point. But think about this. You had a veteran kicker that left 4 points on the field and a veteran quarterback that overthrew guys. If you hit three of those guys that's open, the announcers for ESPN kept saying he has to let the speed catch up to the ball. So, I understand what you're saying about the young guys. You had a veteran kicker left 4 points on. You had a veteran quarterback that could have hit guys. You probably would have plussed that game 17 points. You've been part of the other dozen teams that scored 59 and 50 points like Tennessee's and Chubb's in Georgia. We did not do that. So when you talk about the inexperienced guys, you got to talk about the veteran guys that left a lot of points on the board, out on the field.
That's true. I'll say this in defense of Austin McGinnis. He missed like a 49-yarder. That's hardly a chip shot. So I'm not going to blame a kid for missing a 50-yard kick. The extra point, though, is a different story. That could have been a disastrous missed point because what if that thing had gotten overtime and you lost in overtime? That extra point miss would have cost you the game. So you can't let that happen. But this is a 49-yard kick. You know, that's not a chip shot. I can't, you know, he made 11 in a row prior to that. So I wouldn't be too hard on him on that. The one criticism I would have of Austin McGinnis would be is that extra point. You can't miss that. I got to run, Al. Appreciate the call. Thank you.
Appreciate it.
Let's go to Gabe next up. Gabe, welcome to the show. How are you doing?
Hey, Larry.
Hey.
I'll tell you what, Larry. What happened Saturday was a fact that I think that Louisiana Lafayette had made adjustments on defense, and they stopped pressing. Their defensive backs stopped pressing. They made adjustments, and we didn't make adjustments back. We never
I think it's a fair point.
We never targeted the tight end, Conrad. We never try to go over the middle. All we try to do was loop the passes over the defenders, and once the Louisiana Lafayette backs backed off, mm-hmm. they made adjustments, and that's what stopped those drives, and that's what eventually wore down our defense because we couldn't keep our defense off the field.
I think you're right. They went to a kind of a soft zone defense in the second half, and Kentucky didn't adjust to it.
Exactly, and that goes on Dawson. I think that and Stoops. You know, I think that's what you have to look at. I think Toles had an off game, but at the same time, I think that part of the problem was the fact that they had backed off and they played us off zone and we just didn't target the right people. I think that a few passes down to Conrad would have made a big difference.
I agree. I don't disagree. I thought Kentucky's inability to have a consistent rushing attack. I thought was key down the stretch because, you know, when you get up in the lead like that and teams are trying to scramble and come from behind, the best way to stunt that momentum is to have a 13-play, five-and-a-half-minute drive and you punch in the end zone and you get it all on the ground, you know, or with the exception of maybe a few passes here and there. Kentucky didn't have a bounce. I mean, again, they had a lot of yards rushing, but it all came on like three carries. I mean, they didn't have a consistent rushing attack.
That's the other thing. Now, you know, if Kentucky wants to do something, you know, the offense did rise up at the end and had a sustained drive and eventually won the game with that sustained drive. But, you know, that's what has to happen. They did answer the bell and they didn't let the Louisiana Lafayette back with the ball. And I think that made a big difference. I think going for the fourth and one there at midfield, that was a key.
Oh, they almost fumbled that thing, too. My goodness.
Oh, yeah, he fumbled it, but he picked it up and made the first down. So,
see, there's a situation where I think a Jacob Hyde would have been a good choice there.
That was a big factor, you know, that kept that drive alive. And because I think if we had a punt, that we might have lost that game. And that would have been a disaster.
Well, it would have been. I wonder if they even considered Jacob Hyde at that moment. I guess, of course, in a key moment like that, you don't want a guy handling the football for the very first time. But when Patrick got that ball, I was in studio at the time, and as soon as he got the ball, as he moved, you could see it wobble his hands. It's like, oh, my God, he fumbled it. I thought, in fact, as the play unfolded, they all piled on top of each other, I was sure that he fumbled it, and it was just a scrum to see who got it.
Yeah, well, part of the problem is he didn't take that many snaps from center, and that
is a problem.
You know,
you're right.
That came back
he's in
to
shotgun
haunt him,
most of the time.
But anyway, I'm you know, I think that we're going to do a lot better this week, and I think that the South Carolina game is going to be a factor because I watched both those teams, and we are better than South Carolina. I am convinced that the quarterback play is going to be the difference. South Carolina, to me, doesn't have a quarterback. I mean, that guy
he's hurt too.
Very shaky, and I think that unless he improves, that Spurrier is going to be switching quarterbacks.
Maybe so. It's a small sample size to judge these two teams from. I let's put it this way: I thought South Carolina looked more Division I ready than Kentucky. That said, though, I thought Kentucky showed the ability to make more big plays offensively than South Carolina did. I mean, North Carolina's defense may be better than Louisiana Lafayette. It's hard to say how you compare. I thought Kentucky offensively has more danger to them, but South Carolina may have been more consistent. So
one final thing.
Yeah.
These Louisville fans slay me. I mean, for a team that was down 24-0 and they had no shot at winning that game, they act like, man, we should have won that game. And they don't have a quarterback either. That guy cannot pass the ball, and you're going to eventually see eight men in the box, stack the box, and then they're going to challenge him to throw, and that's when he's going to be exposed. Because
we'll see. I understand why any fan base would be taking the posture they're taking. The reality is Louisville's defense is really good. Did a good job against Auburn's offense, but Louisville's offense is massively a work in progress. I have no doubt they'll be better. I think Petrino's an offensive guru, and I think they will get better. Whether able to achieve the kind of balance necessary to be a dangerous team against really good teams, time will tell. But they, let's not kid ourselves. They were never in a position to win that game Saturday night. All right, Guy Runge, appreciate it.
How about that?
Well, a couple things. Mark Stoops said during his radio show tonight that Jordan Jones has sprained a knee and he's day-to-day. Ryan Flanagan still day-to-day. And Elon Brown did not play, and maybe that redshirt coming back into play for him, possibly. We'll take a break. We'll come back with more in a moment here on Larry Glover Live, presented by Jack Kane Ford.
Sports in Fayette Mall is locally owned and proud of it since 1972, carrying more of the genuine Big Blue apparel, shorts, tees, jerseys, and hats UK fans want most. Check us out at AllSportsLEX.com. AllSportsLEX.com. All Sports in Fayette Mall.
News Talk 590 WVLK knows one of your favorite hobbies is your yard and garden and how to make them look their best. That's why Louie is here to answer your questions six mornings a week. Louie answers questions at 820 on the Lexington Morning News with Jack Patty and on the number one rated Saturday morning show, The Flower Power Hours. Every Saturday morning, Louie is here to help you with anything that grows. Louie and News Talk 590 WVLK, here when you need us.
Some would call 88-year-old Sally Jackson a lucky senior.
A few years ago, a family member offered to move in and care for Sally so that she wouldn't have to leave the comfort of her own home.
But soon after, one of Sally's neighbors, Carol, paid a visit, unannounced.
Something wasn't quite right.
Sally's demeanor and physical appearance had changed.
Luckily, Carol was aware of warning signs that might signal elder abuse.
Such as bruises, poor hygiene,
isolation, depression,
appearing withdrawn or unusually quiet, as if to hide something.
When victimized, elderly people often feel ashamed, confused.
But an alert neighbor helped Sally.
Not all abused seniors are as lucky as Sally Jackson.
Across the Crime Dog here. The National Crime Prevention Council wants to help you and your loved ones prevent elder abuse. Know what to look for. Know how to report it to local law enforcement agencies.
To learn more, go to www.ncpc.org. That's ncpc.org. This message brought to you by the National Crime Prevention Council and the U.S. Department of Justice.
I'm Jack Patty, inviting you to join me every Wednesday morning on News Talk 590 WVLK for the Kentucky One Health Medical Minute. Every Wednesday morning, I visit a local medical professional, and we cover current health topics. Everything that you need to know, you'll find out. Information you want, information you need. The Kentucky One Health Medical Minute, every Wednesday morning at 7:50, right here on News Talk 590 WVLK. And for a podcast, go to WVLKAM.com.
Don't let politics drive your investment decisions. Let's talk. Contact Edward Jones Financial Advisors Jerome Flynn in Stanford or Carmack Kersey in Winchester by visiting edwardjones.com.
While most video surveillance solutions capture and store hours of nothing, CUDA Eye by Barracuda Networks only captures video when something happens. Once captured on camera, the video evidence is immediately encrypted and sent to the cloud for safe storage and easy retrieval from any web browser or mobile device. With CUDA Eye, there's no network configuration or software to install. Just plug one or more cameras into your network to better protect your business. Don't get caught with nothing. Do something about it. Check out CUDAEye.com. That's CUDAEye.com.
This is Charles Osgood. When it comes to insurance, you've got all sorts of options. Consider this. Mutual insurance companies like auto owners are owned entirely by their policyholders. What that means is that profits go back into your pocket through lower premiums. It means that they're working to make you happy. The best part, you can get auto owners insurance through an independent agency in your local community. Auto owners insurance, the no problem people.
In Barberville, call CMI PNC at 513-587-4312.
A great way to wrap up the day. The latest sports and your opinions. Larry Glover Live. Weeknights on News Talk 590 WVLK.
Certainly there were some plays that the young guys need to do better. But you know, what we need to do better is play better as a team. You know, when things were going bad, it's, you know, certainly the defense, the defense had to do their part, you know, and didn't until late. getting a three and out was huge, you know, when, in a tie game. But prior to that, when things were getting off balance, if you look at our drive chart offensively, it was the same way. We got the ball in what, on the 29-yard line. I think we lost a yard, three and out. They score, and then it's a one play and out. I mean, that's a bad combination, you know, so we need to play better as a team.
That's Mark Stoops talking about his young team, about playing collectively better, not just one particular unit. Let's go to Alan, who's waiting patiently. Alan, welcome to the show. How are you doing?
Hey, I'm doing all right, Larry. How you doing?
Good, good. Thanks for calling. Only about a minute left. Alan's about to hustle.
Okay, to the point. It's probably like Donald Trump. You know, this season, no offense, I already see it happening. Excuse after excuse. We should have done this. We should have done that. Mm-hmm. I'm going to tell you, I mean, we about choked on a hairball a few days ago. I look at it like not being good. I mean, no offense, but Florida and Georgia, them teams are going to roll on us, and Tennessee probably, and, I mean, our schedule, I mean.
Yep. Well, we'll see. Yep. You got a lot of kids that haven't played before. They're going to get better and better. They got talent. But young guys playing for the first time can be out of position. And Stoops talked about that today, that a lot of the, especially the young defensive players, were out of position. That's something that's an easy fix. Alan, I got to run. I appreciate it. Thank you much. We'll take a break. We'll come back. Jeff Drummond after the break here on Larry Glover Live, presented by Jack Kane Ford.
WVLK live anywhere, anytime at WVLKAM.com.
Hi, this is Larry, and I'd like to talk to you for a moment about one of my favorite spots in Lexington, and that's Redmond's Garden Center. I really enjoy landscaping in my house, and I always trust Redmond's to get the highest quality products. The place is fantastic. Redmond's will always inspire you to make your landscaping the envy of your neighborhood. Redmond's has got fresh plant material arriving weekly, and they've got a great selection of perennials, trees, shrubs, fountains, and giftware. Redmond's also carries plenty of statuaries and pots to accent your landscaping. A new tree, a shrub, or a potted plant can give your home a brand new look, and Redmond's is the place to make that happen. They're located at 4432 Old Nicholasville Road, or look them up on the web at redmondsgarden.com. Redmond's Garden Center, where they sell beauty by the yard.
Wake up informed and entertained. Set your radio to Jack Patty and the Lexington Morning News. Weekday mornings at 6 on Lexington's news, weather, and traffic leader, News Talk 590 WVLK.
Other restrictions apply. See site for program and Visa prepaid card details. All personal loans are made by WebBank, a Utah Chartered Industrial Bank. Member FDIC, Equal Opportunity Lender.
Hey guys, it's Andy Dean here. As a radio host turned entrepreneur, I've seen firsthand how cash really is king. So instead of getting high interest rate credit cards, I turned to Prosper.com. Prosper's online marketplace connects people who need money with those who want to invest. Invest in you. You can use Prosper to borrow up to $35,000 in as few as 5 days. With Prosper.com, you can borrow money for just about anything you want. You can pay off high rate credit cards, fix up the house, even plan a vacation. Anything you want, it's your money. Prosper.com is a better way to get the cash you need at a low interest rate. To check your low rate instantly, without affecting your good credit, go to Prosper.com/deal. And now for a limited time, listeners to this station get a $50 Visa gift card with your low interest rate loan. So for up to $35,000 in your account in as few as 5 days and a $50 Visa gift card, go to Prosper.com/deal. That's Prosper.com/deal.
Lexington's news, weather, and traffic leader. Depend on it. Station. It's 7 o'clock.
Europe, hundreds on hand for a police funeral. I'm Ann Cates. Thousands of refugees, most from Syria and Iraq and Afghanistan, continue to stream into Austria and Germany with calls for the rest of Europe to step up. Correspondent Frederick Pleitkin.
Countries like Germany and Austria have said that they are more than willing to take in refugees right now, but they do say in the long run they are going to need help dealing with this.
Hundreds of law enforcement officials have attended the funeral today of a fallen police officer in Antioch, Illinois. Lieutenant Charles Joseph Glinowitz was killed last week in nearby Fox Lake pursuing three suspects. His brother Michael Glinowitz during today's service.
When we were growing up, we all knew Joe was a hero.
But now the nation knows he's a hero. You'll always be a part of my life.
The manhunt for the suspect continues, with investigators saying significant new evidence has been uncovered. S&P futures gaining 10 points. I'm Ann Cates. Federal government contractors will be required to give their workers paid sick leave. Correspondent Bob Costantini.
The president did not exactly relax on Air Force One going from Washington to Boston to join a Labor Day rally.
As we were flying over here, I signed a new executive order requiring federal contractors to allow employees who work on our contracts to earn up to 7 paid sick days a year.
Business leaders say mandating the leave will cost federal contractors millions of dollars.
Lawyers for the Kentucky clerk who refuses to issue marriage licenses to same-sex couples have filed an emergency motion with the federal court. Attorney Horatio Mehet met today with Kim Davis, who has been in jail since last week.
She is willing to stay in this jail for as long as it takes in order for her to be able to win back her constitutional rights, not just for herself, but for Americans of all faiths.
If the motion is granted, Davis could be released immediately. I'm Ann Cates.
And I'm Zach Meadows for News Talk 590 WVLK. Here's what's happening. An expert in drones said that there needs to be more education and penalties for those flying recklessly, especially after Saturday's drone crash in Commonwealth Stadium. At this weekend's UK football game, a hobbyist pilot crashed a drone into Commonwealth Stadium. Spectators caught cell phone videos of the drone flying into the end zone just before kickoff and around the same time that several skydivers were parachuting into the stadium, putting the crowds and players at risk. UK police say it was a student who was flying the drone over Commonwealth Stadium, and according to the FAA, that is violation of the law. It's not the first recent instance of an unmanned crash in Lexington. 2 weeks ago, a drone hit a cell tower before landing on top of the Lexington Financial Center. Chris Stiles is an expert and partner in a drone business called Unmanned Services in Versailles. He says there are a multitude of benefits for flying drones, but there are FAA regulations in place to avoid certain situations. It is illegal to fly the aircraft near certain areas, including college football stadiums, 1 hour before and after the games. In fact, the University of Kentucky banned flying drones on campus altogether. There are also severe restrictions when flying within 5 miles of an airport. Officials say that the student broke both of those restrictions Saturday. UK officials are going to meet with police to see if any charges will be filed. Danville police are investigating a shooting that happened Monday afternoon. Danville police were flagged down by a white male near the intersection of South 3rd Street and Jacob Street, who stated that he had been shot. The subject was bleeding from his left hand from an apparent gunshot wound. The victim was taken to Ephraim McDowell Regional Medical Center. The investigation is ongoing, and at this time, police aren't releasing any information. If anyone has any information regarding the incident, please contact Detective Kevin Peel.
From the Auto Plaza USA studios, this is News Talk 590 WVLK.
This Friday at 8:45, the News Talk 590 WVLK deal of the week is live. It's so sweet that we only have limited quantities and you don't want to miss out. Go to WVLKAM.com, click on the sweet deal, and start your weekend with terrific savings.
Get ready for a spooktacular sweet deal this Friday morning. Just $25 gets you 2 combo passes good for all 3 attractions at Wicked World Scaregrounds. Wicked World has been scaring Central Kentucky for over 10 years, and this year it's even bigger and better than ever. Find out more online at wickedworldscaregrounds.com. This week's sweet deal, 2 combo passes to Wicked World Scaregrounds for just $25 on sale Friday. Don't miss out.
To snap up this offer, go to WVLKAM.com. Click on the Sweet Deal tab. Sign up and we'll remind you when it goes live at 8:45 Friday morning. Remember, quantities are limited, so don't miss out. Act now and get the biggest deals delivered right to your inbox.
Our run of 90-degree days or higher continues, and this could be our 7th day in Lexington with low 90s. Mostly to partly sunny and isolated shower storm for your Labor Day. Tomorrow, back at it, low 90s Tuesday, partly sunny. Into the middle of the week, though, big changes ahead. We've got scattered showers and storms Wednesday night, maxing out Thursday, highs falling through the 80s. I'm meteorologist Tom Ackerman with your LEX 18 Storm Tracker 3-day forecast on your official weather station, News Talk 590 WVLK.
And your current conditions now are 90 degrees and partly cloudy at your official weather station, News Talk 590 WVLK.
wish I was in school.
I wish I was in school.
Summer isn't fun when you're hungry.
Give me a math quiz.
I'll stay after class.
I'll clean the chalkboard.
I wish I was in school.
If your child relies on free school lunches, we can help provide them with free meals this summer. Together, we're feeding America.
Contact God's Pantry Food Bank at W.